next week. He was a missionary in Russia and in the Middle East, and you'll enjoy his story. And then I know we've all been praying about a youth pastor, and so I want you to know what's going on here in that regard. This coming Wednesday night, weather permitting, we are going to have a couple with us from Holland, Michigan. And they are a young couple with a little baby, and they will be coming to investigate us as we investigate them. You know how that works? And what we're doing is we're praying. And we will see how the Lord works. No decisions have been made, but this is sort of the process. So they will be here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And every parent of every teen, we want you to participate. You know, you say, well, I don't come. My child doesn't come on Wednesday. We have these things, and just come on anyways, because if you're a parent with a teenager, you're part of our congregation. We want you to participate in that, and because it is about all of us together. And so we'll have a meet and greet and get to know these folks. And so put that on your radar. And the youth council will be meeting with them around 6 o'clock-ish, and then the gathering at 7. So how many will just say, Pastor Tim, I'm going to give some time and help us pray about the wisdom of the Lord? Will you do that with me? Will some of you do that with me? Thank you for that, to pray for God's perfect will. And then I've been talking about this on February 14th is Valentine's Day, and it's also Wednesday, and it's Ash Wednesday. And so, as you know, our theme for the year is All for Love, and there's nothing like love than Valentine's Day. And so we are canceling church that evening, and we are asking that whether it's on that day or another day, that you invest in your loved one. If it's a husband, invest in your wife. Take her out on a date, or vice versa, or your family. Go out for an event together as a family or as a connect group. Some of you connect groups are going out together. And here's the deal. We're going to share our love with one another, but we want to remember that God has loved us in a mighty way, and we want to return the favor on this first Sunday of the Wednesday of the Lenten season, where we start focusing on the cross. So we're asking that whatever you spend on your dinner, that you, I'm saying we're going to receive the offering the next Sunday. We're going to receive a love offering for Shepherd Community and their ministry on the east side to the greater Indianapolis area. And so what we're asking you to do is whatever you spend on dinner, that you give an equal amount for our love offering, to share our love for this wonderful outreach. And so I know I've already heard some of you are joking with me that you're gonna go to White Castles. I don't care where you go. I just want you to be generous, right? And you say, well, Pastor, I can't give twice. You have no idea where I'm taking my wife. I can't give twice. And I'm just saying, do your best, give a little bit, and God will take it and multiply it. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. And all day long on Ash Wednesday, we will have an Ash Wednesday experience where you can come in from 8 to 5, and we'll have a sort of a do-it-yourself Ash Wednesday experience where you'll read and pray and receive communion, and you'll do that on your own. Just come on your lunch break or however that looks, and let's get our hearts set for a wonderful time of this Lenten season. So all of that's, most of that's in your bulletin, and it'll be coming in emails, and so I want you to be prepared for that. And one last thing, and then we'll get right into the Word. Tonight, we're not having service here. At 5 o'clock, Velocity Church is having the Gospel Mass Choir from Olivet Nazarene University. And I thought, well, that'd be, you know, I think we need to hang out with our brothers and sisters a little bit more. I love Larry Foster. I love Don Gessner. And I love their folks over there. And they love us. So we're just going to shift our meeting. It's an hour earlier. And we'll go over there and enjoy time of fellowship together. So I wanted you to know, those of you who come out on Sunday night. And if you know someone who comes out on Sunday night and they're not here to hear it, call them up and let them know. That's the Velocity Church out on Raceway. Well, I know you've been sitting for a long time, so turn in your Bible and stand with me, and let's get into the Word together as we finish up this whole section on reset. I want you to know that not that you need to know or I need you to know, I just want you to know my heart, that I've really struggled with this message. Even into the late hours of yesterday, which may show as I preach, I've just been late. I've had two sermons in mind, and when I thought about preaching this message on on how to overpower the enemy, I really struggled with it because I talk about this a lot. And I was telling the Lord, you know, I talk about overcoming the power of Satan with the power of God. It's sort of part of it, my wheelhouse. And I just heard the Lord say to me these words. And so I'm going to be obedient to him today. Is that okay? I just want to be obedient and pray that some of it'll stick today. Because here's the reality. If you've made a decision to pray and to read the word and to look out into the harvest field and have a heart of compassion, I promise you the devil is going to fight you. He doesn't want that stuff to happen, right? He just wants you to be all content doing what you're doing. And so I heard him say, tell him how to beat the devil. So we're going to do that today. Is that all right? So this is my favorite story about the pigs who fall off the cliff. That's how I, you know, whatever. I don't even know if it was a cliff. But there they went. And so here it is in Mark chapter 5. So they arrived, verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus, and they were in a boat and they were crossed. Jesus had told them earlier, let's go to the other side. So they were in a boat, right? And when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with chains. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. And with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. And there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." And so Jesus gave them permission, and the evil spirit came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. This, believe it or not, is the word of the Lord. Amen? You may be seated. The reality, church, is this. If you have made that decision, I made this note in my early notes on this message. If a man filled with the devil, and I will refer to Satan. I know this is a man filled with a demon, but I'm talking this morning about the work of Satan. And so I want to say it like this. If satanic forces came after Jesus when he got out of the boat, we can expect that when we get out of the boat and make some decisions, he is going to come after us. If that makes sense, say yes. You know, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus and the disciples were on the boat, and it's stormy, and it's a unusual time, and they see Jesus walking on the water and in the calm of the water now, and they were shocked, thought Jesus was a ghost, right? And Jesus says to Peter, "Why don't you come on out, walk on the water with me?" And Peter stepped out of the boat. And that's where we get this phrase, getting out of the boat, making a commitment, taking a step of faith. And so here's the deal. If you have stepped out of the boat Satan will come out and meet you, and he will meet you in the morning when you are ready to read the Bible, you know, like you've committed to do, when you are ready to read the Bible, he will meet you in the morning when your alarm clock goes off because you've said it 30 minutes earlier, or he'll say you were up way too late. It is too early. He'll meet you in the middle of the day and say you're way too busy, and he'll meet you at night and say you're way too tired. I promise you, especially when it comes to the Word of God, that there is this time, there is this season where when you are trying to do the right thing, especially reading the Word, that the enemy will come alongside and he will try to conjure up every reason why you can't go on and read the Word. If you have gotten out of the boat to spend more time in prayer, Satan will come out to meet you. I found this quote by William Cowper. He was a poet in the 1700s, and it struck me, and I've been put it on my Facebook this week just because it is so true. He said that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saints upon their knees. Let me tell you what, you may feel weak in the Lord. You may feel like you don't have much to offer. You may feel like you are nothing, but I promise you, if you would get on your knees in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to cry out to him for your neighborhood and for your family, nothing causes the enemy to tremble more than when God's people pray. Amen? Yeah. Max Lucado is an author and a preacher, speaker. And he says this: Satan seeks to interrupt our prayers. Our battle with prayer isn't entirely our fault. The devil knows the stories. He knows what happens when we pray. Satan is not troubled, he writes, when Max writes a book. Satan is not troubled when Max prepares and preaches a sermon. But when Max prays, the wobbly knees of Satan shakes with fear. And I don't think we really understand the power of prayer, but it affects the enemy. So if you have gotten out of the boat and you're saying, you know, I'm going to wake up early, I'm going to wake up 30 minutes earlier, and I'm going to pray, I want you to know you are causing the enemy to fear because he knows what prayer can do. If you've decided to get out of the boat to ask God to give you a heart of compassion and eyes to see lost people all around us, he will come to meet you, and he will get you so focused on what you want that you never see what he wants. Come on. But some of you have decided to get out of the boat, and that's why some of you are going to have changes in your life this year. That's why some of you, I know this doesn't sound spiritual, but some of you are going to lose weight this year because you've decided to live more healthfully. Some of you are going to be stronger. That's why some of you are going to get a degree this year. That's why some of you will read the Word more than ever. Some of you will pray more than ever. That's why some of you will begin to tithe. That's why some of you this last Wednesday brought all of your credit cards to Financial Peace University, and Alan and Dunya Moso help you cut those credit cards up and say, I'm not going to depend on those things anymore. By the way, we should give a round of applause for those who made that commitment. I mean, that's some serious stuff. I mean, I passed that room over here in the corner, and it is filled, and there's some excitement in that room. They're excited about what they're, you know, I'm excited because God's going to help them all become millionaires or something like that. I'm excited because you know what? When you decide that you're going to live debt-free and live within your means, the enemy is going to come out and meet you because he wants you all bound up in debt. You get that? He wants you worried and full of anxiousness, and I can't give to the church, and I can't give to my kids, and I'm so bound up in my debt. You know, he just sits back and he watches that happen. So when people decide they're not going to do that anymore, the enemy will come. And he'll say, go out to eat dinner every night. Go use that credit card and buy that vacation. And I'm off script, but some of you are going to see God bless you because you've gotten out of the boat financially. But when we get out of the boat, and Satan gets to work, that's where we have to figure out how to handle that. So to my last, this final message of reset, I thought I would talk, we've talked about the power of the word and the power of prayer and the power of harvest eyes, and we're going to talk today about the power over Satan. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is I want you to understand some things about Satan. The first thing I want you to understand this morning, and these notes, it came so late, we don't have them for you, so write them down or I can give them to you later. First thing I want you to know about understanding Satan, that his MO is darkness and death. If you understand that, say yes. Now, they say that water, as it flows, will go towards the lowest point. So you know how it is. If your water heater leaks in your house like it did in ours several years ago, all the water that floods out will start sliding and making its way to the lowest point. Do you know that's how the devil works? When the devil begins to work in our lives and tries to begin to affect us, he will go after the lowest point in our lives. Jesus came to conquer those low places, but Satan will trick us into thinking that there is no hope at all. That's why the enemy will focus on the low points of those who are depressed, and he will tell you there's no hope. He will go for those whose bodies are overcome with sickness and say, you'll never get better. He will go for those who are depressed and discouraged and downhearted and say, none of that Jesus stuff will work. He will get you in your marriage and he'll find the worst spot and he'll cause the darkness to grow because he knows he can have an effect where you are the lowest, where you're feeling the lowest, how you're operating in the lowest point. But the good news this morning is that we don't have to live in the low. We'll have low points, but we don't have to live there because God has given us hope through Jesus Christ. So Satan will make you think that there is no hope for the rescue of your sins, but Jesus declared that Satan is a liar and he died on the cross and rose from the grave so that we can be resurrected with him in this life and the life to come. Satan will capitalize on our weakness, but Jesus says that his strength is made perfect in weakness. Satan is all about death and dying, but Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Satan will make you think that you're all alone, but God promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. Satan will wear you out with lies, but Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Satan capitalizes on darkness, dark times, dark emotions, doubt, dark outcomes, but Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Satan will make you think that God doesn't love you or care for you or won't accept you, but Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. Satan's MO is darkness and death. And when you're in a spot where you feel dark and you feel the closeness of death, I don't just mean physically, I mean life can make us feel that way. In a moment I'm going to give you some handles, but I just want you to remember that those are the tools of the enemy to keep you from getting out of the boat, keeping you in that place. Here's the second thing I want us to understand about Satan. It is that he can't be restrained by man's strength or strategies. Look at verses 3 and 4. We read that this man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained with chains. Whenever he was put in chains and shackles, he snapped them from his wrists and smashed the shackles, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. So here's a scenario where in human strength, humans tried to subdue Satan in this man, and they failed over and over again. But Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, he says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. And then in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, the prophet said, it is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I want you to know today that Satan is going to wage a battle. When we get out of the boat, he will work to get us back into our box, back into our comfort zone, back into our little status quo living. But if we stand strong, we must stand strong by the fullness of the Holy Spirit when we invite Jesus into our lives and when we make a commitment that we will serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we're committed like that, his power is mighty in our lives, and through his strength, we can overcome the temptation of Satan. Do you believe that? This is pretty good preaching. Here's another thing, though. His fuel is fear and confusion. He'll go after the low parts, right? He'll capitalize on the low areas of our life, our weaknesses, and he'll use fear and confusion to get us all wrapped up and afraid to take steps of faith. I can just hear those of you who have made commitments to get out of debt, since we're in that realm, but you can apply it to any area. I can already hear the voice of the enemy speaking to you who have made commitments to tithe, you know, on your income. You can't afford that. You can barely afford to go get a Coke. How can you tithe? How many, just as in the form of testimony, those of you who have been in the church for a long time and you are faithful tithers and you've seen God come through, how many of you, just by show of hands, this is off script right now, how many of you would testify who have been faithful in tithing that you have been through situations where you were getting to write the check before there was online giving and all that stuff, right? And you looked at your budget and you said, there is no way. And you sort of froze. How many of you honestly have been in those spots before? Yeah. I mean, just if you're a faithful tither, sacrificial tither, you'll come up to those places in life where you just don't know how you're going to make it. Okay, second question. How many of you, when you've pushed ahead, all right, I'm going to write it. I don't know about you. This is may not be good accounting practices, but back in the day, there were times where I wrote a check knowing that if it was cashed, my account would be in trouble. I just did it. How many of you have ever done that? Just okay, good. A few of you have. Some of you are afraid to say, it's okay. Because I know way more of you are tithing than raise your hand. And how many of you, when you have done that, did find it difficult? Come on, be honest. How many of you have discovered that God never fails, though? Come on. God never fails. And so I can hear him say, listen, boy, if you write that check or if you make that commitment, what's going to happen here? And I just want to say to you, the devil is a liar. He'll go to the weakest spot and say, don't even try it. You will fail. But we serve a God who takes commitment seriously, and he'll come up behind you, and he will shore the way. Now, you may have to stop going to Starbucks every day. Come on. You know, go to a gas station and get that. I don't know what it costs there. I go to McDonald's, $1.62. Go there instead. All right, I don't want to start a problem here. So with your coffee, it's serious business. His fuel is fear and confusion. Those are just some things. And I wanted to point out my scripture. Verse 5. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Don't you know when you were a kid and lived in this day, the stories you would tell and how you would avoid that cemetery at all cost? Fear. Some of you right now, you've made decisions and the enemy is howling over that commitment. Just ignore him. He's blowing smoke. You serve a mighty God. Yeah. So let's talk about what Satan understands. All right, let's get in the mind of the devil. I mean, don't take that literally, but I want us to see what Satan knows, and it comes right out of this. It's beautiful what we see about the what Satan understands and knows. First of all, Satan understands his position. I love this part of the story. So Jesus gets out of the boat, and what happened? What does the demon-possessed guy do? Just call it out. What's he do? He makes a beeline for Jesus, and he bows down before him. And the point that I want to make here is that Satan, in all of his evilness, has such a scam going. But behind the facade, he knows that when he's in front of Jesus, all he can do is bow to his feet. Amen? He can't help it because he knows who God really is. And let me tell you what. The enemy will try to get you to bow in fear at things that go on in your life, and those are real. But listen, if Satan can bow at the feet of Jesus and understand his position, we can bow at the feet of Jesus knowing that he is our loving Savior. And there's a big difference. Satan understands the person of Jesus. I love this part too. In verse 7, we read that Satan, working through this man, says, he shrieked and he says, "Why are you interfering with me?" And what's he call him? Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Here's another thing that Satan understands. He understands that Jesus is the Son of God, and that Jesus died on the cross, and that he would be the Savior of the world. Satan understands that. And I just want to remind you today, I want to encourage you, that we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, the hymn says, and he's your Savior. He died for you, and he loves you. Number three, Satan understands that the presence of Jesus disrupts his work. Look at what he says. "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus?" You know why we pray here at the front every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock? Not just because it's early and I want to make it difficult for people to get here. It's just the best time to do it. And so this morning we had 6 or 7 or 8 people here praying. You know why I do that? We pray for the glory of God, the presence of Jesus to show up. Because we all know, don't we, that when Jesus shows up, the enemy cannot get a bite on us. We need the presence of Jesus. That's why we pray on Wednesday nights. That's why we pray at home. That's why we believe prayer is the most essential element of our church. Because when God's people are praying, the devil trembles. His presence. You know how it is. When he comes into the room, everything changes. That's why when couples come to me and say, "Pastor, we're having trouble," one of the first questions I ask is, "Hey, do you guys pray together?" And if they don't, we talk a while and I try to help them as best I can. And my first assignment is, I want you to go home and I want you to start praying together. And let's see what God will do and see how fast the devil will run. Come on, church. Oh, I want to just start preaching on this one right here. You know, I've had husbands and wives just sort of look at each other like they had seen a ghost, because the idea of praying out loud in front of each other, even after years of marriage, brought so much fear that it was almost overwhelming. I don't always understand that, because Jamie and I. We've just done that, and we don't do it perfectly. But we have learned that that's our battleground. So when husbands and wives pray together for their family, and their families pray together, the enemy has to run, because he's scared when you pray. Okay, so some of you are saying, "Well, Pastor, that's me and my wife or my husband. That's hard. I don't know if we can." There's no judgment here. But if you're not praying together, I want you to start. And this is what I do. I just say, I tell them to go home, and I tell them to pray the Lord's Prayer together. Can I just start with the Lord's Prayer? Just pray it out loud together. And start there. If you don't pray in your house, husbands and wives, just pray the Lord's Prayer together. Everyone seems to know the Lord's Prayer. If you don't, it's in the Bible. Just pray the Lord's Prayer. The presence of the Lord. That's what we're talking about. The presence of the Lord is so key. And the devil knows that if we pray, we'll interfere with his work. How many of you have something in your life that you need God to interfere in the work of the enemy? Yeah. Something else Satan understands is that Satan understands and believes the word. He believes every word of this book. He's read the end chapter, and he knows he's a dead man. Think about it. The devil knows he's a goner. He knows the power of Jesus. He knows it's coming. You know, he says in this verse, he wanted Jesus to get out. Don't torture. He knew it was coming. Don't torture me. Because Jesus has already said to the Spirit, come out of this man. This is such a powerful point. And I don't want to overlook it. Do you realize this morning that Jesus has already declared authority over Satan? You can look down on Satan because Ephesians says we sit with Jesus in the heavenlies. In other words, we are right beside him. And we can declare with as much authority as Jesus, we can tell the devil to get behind us and go on a run because we don't want him a part of our lives. It's like when I was a kid, you know, when I was a little kid growing up, and we were out at churches because my dad was a missionary. We were out with friends, and I was acting up. I know it's hard for you to imagine that I would act up, but now and then I did. I was mostly the perfect child. What I'm getting ready to tell you is mostly about my sister. If you're watching, sis, sorry. Truth hurts. Anyways. And my dad would get a hold of me, I mean my sister, and say, when you get home, you're going to get a spanking. How many of you have ever had a parent say that to you? How many of you have ever said it to a kid? Yeah. And the terrible thing about it was, you know, we wouldn't be going home for 4 hours. You know, so I'd have to wait on that, you know, like 4 hours before I die, you know. You know, I said, just get it over with, Dad. But no, they would wait. And then when we got home, oh boy. Just imagine, Satan, it's been around for eons and eons, has read the end of the book and knows what's coming his way. One of the things you've got to remember is that Satan is a defeated foe. You hear me, church? It doesn't feel like it sometimes. Because remember, we live in this world where this is flesh, you know. This is the hard stuff. We go through life. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Right? But Satan is a defeated foe. He knows what's coming. And so do we. So what do we need to know? Well, what do we do? How do we operate? How do we proceed? Well, this is going to be predictable. This is not new stuff. But I have to remind all of us that if I'm going with step one, here it is. You cannot defeat the enemy unless you have a personal relationship with the great defeater, Jesus Christ. Are you with me? I can pray for you all day long. Guys, I can pray for you, and I do. I can work on your behalf. I can try to move heaven and earth to help you. But if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are powerless against the onslaught of the enemy. So if we're going to start at point A, it's going to be this, that you have to admit that you're a sinner and need Jesus. I like to say it's as simple as A, B, C. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave and is going to come again someday. Confess Jesus as the Lord of your life is the C. Say, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you until I die. And the D is just do what he says. Because if you will live in obedience, all the powers of heaven are at your disposal. That doesn't mean you won't go through a hard time, difficult seasons. Life is a struggle sometimes. But here's the deal. This is not all there is. One of these days, we will make it to heaven, and that's our goal, amen, and to take as many people with us as possible. That's number one, get a relationship with Jesus. Number two, get committed and filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I just say this to you? I'm going to be preaching on this subject here in a few weeks. Jesus doesn't just want our sins. He wants our lives. Oh, he'll take our sins and cover them and forgive them and they'll be washed away. But listen, Jesus wants you. He wants all of you. He wants your life, your talents, your abilities. He has called you to do something specific in this world. And when we yield ourselves to him and say, God, you can have all of me, he gives you all of him. We call it entire sanctification. In the Church of the Nazarene, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And you want to have power over the enemy? Commit your life to Jesus Christ in completeness. I want to finish up with this. Get honest. Get honest. Look at verse 9. We've had this interaction. And Jesus asks this man, he's speaking to the Satan, the demon. He says, what's your name? And the man says, the demon says, it's Legion, because there are many of us in him. Jesus, even though he knew it, called for it, and it was identified, and Jesus dealt with it. And so I just thought out of this verse, that's part of defeating the enemy. It's to identify what it is that he's got you wrapped up in. What is it? Is it pornography? Is it some other kind of addiction? Is it jealousy? Is it fear? Is it a sickness in your body or your mind that's the tripping up? Is it a lack of faith? Is it your past? Is it anger? Is it that you can't forgive yourself or you can't forgive someone else? Where is the low point that the devil, you know, we've talked about the water, that the devil goes to? All of those things represent the graveyard where this guy operated, right? Where Satan plays. All of those things represent death and decay. Jesus knew the devil's name. I want you to catch this. He knew the devil's name because God is omniscient. He knows everything. But he wanted the man to identify it. And listen, folks, if you've got a struggle in your life and Satan is capitalizing on it, it's about time the church became a comfortable place where someone could go to another person and say, listen, this is where the battle is. Can you help me? And with the mouth, we declare and get it out into the open space, out of the darkness where the devil likes to keep it, right? Where he likes us to be, to come out into the light so we can tell those closest to us, the preacher, whoever, tell it to Jesus that this is my issue and I will not let the devil capitalize on it anymore. What is your identifying area of weakness that the devil is working on? Identify it. Tell someone. Tell Jesus. I'd like you to stand with me if you could. You're going to think this is corny. But I'm going to give it to you anyways. What do you do when the enemy comes up and begins to attack you? You've gotten out of the boat. You've made decisions. Commitment decisions. New Year's decisions. What do you do when you feel the pressure in those old areas that you battled with. We use this with teaching kids what to do when there's a fire, right? What do you do when there's a fire? Yeah, stop, drop, and roll, right? Okay, so I just wanted you to leave with something. If you're susceptible, and we all are at some time, but if you're especially susceptible and it's a battle for you, when those time comes of darkness, rather than letting your mind wander to them and begin to dwell on them, I'm going to recommend that you stop, drop, and roll. Here we go. Stop. Just stop in your tracks. Take a breath. Take a reality check. And drop. What are you going to drop to? Come on, yeah. Drop to your knees. You know, if you're driving, don't do it then. You're right? I'm just talking stop. Preacher just talked about this. Stop and just pray. I've been in situations where all I could do is just say the name of Jesus. 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 Just pray. Change the environment. Roll. Okay, what are we going to do? Roll. Here. It's R-O-L. R-O-L-E. Not roll, but anyways, the idea was to roll that problem in the Word of God. In other words, get a biblical perspective. Well, is what I'm thinking, would that be God? Is that God telling me to be jealous? Or full of anger? Or fearful? Or anxious? Is that God? Wrap that feeling, that thought idea, wrap it, roll it in the Word of God like a good tasty burrito. Right? This is good because anytime you go to eat a burrito, you'll think about this now. Right? Wrap it up in the Word. And before you start eating the, I won't say a bad word, but I won't. Whenever you start eating the lies and the stuff of the enemy, eat the Word, right? Get it in your brain. Take the truth and face the devil and say to him, I'm a child of the Most High God. My life is wrapped in the Word and I'm a prayer warrior and I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop this right now. Are you hearing me, church? Yeah. Just bow your heads if you would. Maybe this morning for our closing prayer. You've listened so well, thank you. Maybe for our closing prayer, you have an area of life that's a struggle. Maybe just cropped up this week. You've been a Christian for a long time. Christian folk struggle too with the enemy. Maybe something's going on in your life, and today I've preached on this subject, and you think, I'm gonna bring this to Jesus. Maybe a husband and wife needs to come together, or a family, or just you by yourself. But for the closing prayer, and we'll just wait a moment, maybe you can pray right there where you're at. I want you to feel comfortable doing that. But maybe you would gain a little traction if you just come and slip down to the front. Bring your need to the Father. Just tell them, man, I've gotten out of the boat and I need your help. And I just need believers everywhere just to pray right now and help. Because there is a battle waging. Even amongst God's people, good people struggle.